I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. This morning, as you remember, we studied concerning Joshua, and we talked a little bit about Caleb. But the children of Israel had got to the point that God had told Moses to prepare these people, and Joshua had taken Moses' place, and they were about to go into the land of Canaan. And but before Joshua succeeded Moses, the command was made to send people out, and there were several men that were named there this morning that went into the land to spy it out before they were going in to take it. And we see that certainly several of those, most of those came back and gave a bad report, except two, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And as we study about these two men, there's a lot of good things that we can see that they did in their lives that are good examples for us. And if we go to the New Testament, we can see that certainly the Apostle Paul encourages us as Christians and those in the church to look at Old Testament examples and learn from the mistakes of those people and do not sin as they sinned. Or to also learn from the examples of those Old Testament people. For instance, Hebrews chapter 11, those many people of faith, and learn from them that we too today might be faithful. I would cite tonight, before we begin to study about Caleb, to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and there the Apostle Paul talks about the Israelites and some of the things they did, and part of that's mentioned is their immorality they had and the sins they committed and their rebellion against God and the things that happened in the case of the doubt of going in to take the land. And verse 11 there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." And so we are studying concerning Caleb tonight. We talked about Joshua this morning and a lot of the good points concerning him. And so the points we're going to look at tonight about Caleb are things that was evident in his life that if we have those same traits in our life today, it will help us to be doing the will of God. Because Caleb was a man who had a spirit in him to be willing to follow the Lord, to be willing to stand up and take a stand for what was right, and to do the things that God would have him to do. So then in Numbers chapter 14, let's turn back, and we'll go back up to verse 24 this morning, about two verses before where Brother Jan Farley began reading in the Bible reading. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, the Lord says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land, where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So Caleb, as we look at the good example that he set, was that he was a man who believed God, and he was a man that not only believed, he was an obedient follower. He did what God asked him to do. He stood for the thing that was right. He fully followed the Lord. So to say that someone fully followed the Lord, it indicates that that person had a good heart, they had good intent, and they followed through with that good heart and that in good intent, and listened to what God would have them to do, and they did it. So Caleb was a man who did that. Look over to Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, and again, on this same subject and almost the same thoughts there, as he's discussing the failure of these people to go in and take the land, or the unwillingness to do that. He says concerning him in verses 11 and 12, "Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." So these are two men that we can look at in our study, not only from the pulpit, but in a personal Bible study or in a Bible study class, and see good examples. So Caleb then was a man who was an obedient believer in God. And we need to be an obedient believer in God today, because when we study and we understand that God requires obedience on our part, He requires that we believe Him, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He requires that we believe in Him. He not only requires that we believe in Him, but that we do the things He asks us to do. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, You know, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. So today we're also required to be a believer who is an obedient doer of the will of God. And so that's my responsibility and your responsibility, to have enough faith, to let the faith work in obedience to what God asks us to do. James chapter 2, 14 through 27 talks about faith. And even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. So we must have the works that go along with our belief. Caleb was a man then that was an obedient believer, and then he was a man who had the courage, to take a stand and say the right thing and give the right report, and to take a stand when there was confusion and when there was a mob mentality to take down Moses and Aaron. He was a man who's willing to stand up and say the thing that would need to be accounted for. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, if you look at that, flip back to that chapter, we see that when there was the discussion of going up and taking the land, and some of those men had come back and reported and said, we can't take that land, there are giants in the land, and they'll devour us, and we don't stand a chance to go in there and take it. Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess the land. He understood that God had promised the land to them, and with God's will and God's way and their belief in God and obeying what He told them to do, that they could take the land, because this was the land that God had promised to them. So Caleb was a man who had enough courage and strength to follow through with what he believed and say, okay, we can do this. We can do this because God says this is what needs to be done, and this is the land that He's going to give us. We can do this with God's help if we follow through. So even in the face of tough opposition, we see that He stood up and made that statement. Look to Numbers chapter 13, and let's look at a few of these verses leading up to verse 30. We go back up in verse 25 of Numbers chapter 13, and it says, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and followed and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. You see the doubt in these men's mind that they are trying to portray back to the people? Then verse 30 says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. And so, verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. He talks about the giants they saw and the grasshoppers and how the size of them compared to the size of others. And so Israel refused to enter Canaan. They're making a refusal to enter Canaan. But here's this man, Caleb, who says, we can do this. Let us go up and take this land. Let us go up and do this because God is with us. Thirdly, we see that Caleb was not only a man who was an obedient believer and a man of courage, but he was a man that stood out. When it come to terms, you might say he stood up head and shoulders above everyone else, except maybe Joshua and Moses and some of those other people. But those men that went out to spy the land, he stood head and shoulders above them in his determination to be upright and do the thing that he needed to do. He was a man of distinction. He distinguished himself from the other people by saying that the Lord will give us this land. He made a distinction in his mentality and his belief and his faith in God versus these other men when he said, we can very well take this land. We can do this. So he stood out. He had a different spirit. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 again. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. And so today we need to understand that this is a good example for us, and as Christians, we too need to have that distinctive attitude as a Christian, in that our life on earth involves believing in God, hearing God's instructions, obeying God's instructions, and when we obey God's instruction, it's going to make a distinct difference in our life, in the way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, the places we go, the things we engage in, the way we treat other people, the way we live our life, because we will make a distinction in the workplace, in the community, in social life, in business, because we'll be a people that make distinctive difference in our life and them, because we are doing the will of God and standing for God when others may not and will not obey God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and most of you could quote these verses, but let's look and see what Peter says concerning being an obedient believer of God and the distinction we make by obeying God. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And go look at verses 11 and 12. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So, Caleb was a man of distinction in his belief in God, his obedience to God, his willingness to take a stand, to do the thing that was right and follow through with what God had promised. We make a distinctive difference in our life today when we, who belong to God, blood-bought Christians in the family of God, when we live as we ought to live, when we think as we ought to think, and we speak as we ought to think, and we have the places we go or the places that God permits us to go that are not wrong, that we're controlled by the Word of God, it makes a difference, and it'll be head and shoulders in an example above the example of the world, because we can shine brighter than the world and be a distinctive person. And the church can be a distinctive light in this community if we'll just follow God fully. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, where Jesus said that His followers should be those that have let their light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We make a distinctive difference by being what God called us to be. Caleb made a distinctive difference by being a man who believed, who obeyed, who was courageous, and by doing that, he served with distinction because he had a different spirit. We cannot let the spirit of the world overrule us. We cannot let the ways of the world engulf us and go with the ways of the world and be distinctive in living a Christian life, or we fall right in with the world and with the sins of the world. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, you know, that he wants Christians, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says that we should not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what's that good and acceptable will of God. So we're not to be of the world or a part of the world, and we're not to love the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things of the world. So a distinctive difference can be made in your life and my life, and a distinctive difference can be made with the congregation at Beulah when we are obedient believers to God, we are courageous, and we stand up for what's right, and we serve God by obeying His will. It makes a difference. Our light will shine. Well, Caleb was a man who was a doer. He was a doer. He didn't just wear the name of being an Israelite of the lineage of Abraham. He didn't just fall in the line and say, you know, I'm one of the seed of Abraham, and I'm okay. I don't have to do anything. I'll just go along with the flow. He wasn't a man that just went along with all those other men that said, we can't take this land. Look at all those giants. Look at those fortified cities. He didn't go along with that. Caleb was a doer. He's willing to take action. He's willing to go up and do the thing that he knew God wanted them to do. He was a doer, a worker. He took action. Numbers 13 and verse 30, he says, let us go up at once and take this land. A man of action. And we need to be that today. We need to be men and women of action that if God says do it, let's do it. If God says, go this route, then let's go this route. That's his attitude. He was willing to step up and do what God asked him to do. If we're not doers of the will of God and we're just trying to go along with the flow, then we're going to get lost in that situation and caught up, and we won't be doing anything. We'll just be riding along with others, and we won't be profitable in growing spiritually and serving God. So we need to be doers of the Word. I mentioned James 2 earlier, 14 through 27. But be ye doers of the Word. And again, Matthew chapter 7, 1, do the will of God. So Caleb was a doer, a man of action, a person of action. Well, Caleb was a man who had confidence in his life. He was a man who had confidence. And we see that certainly, concerning taking the land, he said, for we are well able to overcome it. Look again at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Numbers 13 and verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to do it. He had confidence. We're well able to overcome it. And so we need confidence today as Christians in our life. Confidence, number one, in that we believe God, and we believe that what He says He will bring to pass, and we believe His words, and we believe in Him fully, that we're willing to come to Him in full obedience, in repentance, and take action to be baptized and become a child of God, and to serve Him faithfully, and have confidence to say that we can do what God wants us to do. Let's look at a few of the examples, and Donald got close to a few of these verses this morning in our study on prayer. But look to Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And I want you to look at the example of the early Christians that exemplified confidence in their life, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of threats, even in trying times when others were rising up against them, governing officials, some of the Jews were rising up against them, they were facing obstacles, and they not only had confidence, and they said, well, we must obey God rather than man, but they also prayed that they might have strength, that they might have confidence. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, he says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So we need to have confidence in God, and we need to have boldness to do what God wants us to do, the willingness to listen, and then the confidence to go do what God asks us to do. The early Christians did that. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul making the statement of his confidence that he had. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's confidence. For Paul, an apostle, who had been stoned, who was being persecuted, who was being chased, who was being threatened, who had been put in prison, who had been done wrong, he faced all those troubles, all those perils, and he had a thorn in the flesh that he had asked to be removed, but the Lord said that he had the strength to sustain it. And so we understand that his confidence, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we look back to Caleb. Here's a man that had confidence. The early Christians had confidence. They prayed for boldness. Peter and John had confidence. They said, we cannot but speak the things we've both seen and heard, when they were threatened and told not to speak again in the name of Jesus. They had confidence. The apostles had confidence. The early Christians had confidence. And the apostle Paul was a man who was confident and bold and said, I can do these things in Christ. Look to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at verse 35. Hebrews 10 and verse 35. This chapter is really, we use these verses preceding this a lot of times about forsaking the assembly and being faithful and not sinning willfully. But here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, notice what he said. It says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. So Caleb had confidence in the Lord. He had confidence that what God had promised would come to pass. Do we have that confidence today? Are we bold enough in our life to say, God has said it, I believe it, and we're going to do it. God has promised it, He will give it, let's do what He asks so we can receive it. Do we have that confidence today? And John, go to 1 John. We studied that a book several times since we've been at Beulah. Different ones have taught it and done an excellent job teaching classes from the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But in 1st John chapter 3 and verse 21, he says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." So how do we live in a way that we can have confidence toward God? We believe God. We study His Word. We believe His Word. We obey His Word. We have faith in Him. We obey what He asks. And when we do that, we have confidence in knowing that because God says it and we fall in there and by faith and do it, we can have confidence in Him and don't have to worry about anything else because it's in God's hand and we're doing by faith what He asks us to do. So Caleb then had confidence in his life. So let's go back and review just very quickly a couple of these slides about Caleb and see what we had in between him and Joshua this morning and this evening. Joshua chose to serve God, Joshua chapter 24. He was instructed by God to be strong and of good courage. Joshua led the children of Israel over Jordan, Joshua 1:10 through chapter 3, verse 17. Joshua circumcised the second generation of Israelites. He sanctified the people. Joshua then followed the Lord, read the commandments of Moses to the people and to the Israelites, and he executed 5 enemy kings and conquered what God had told him to do. And then Joshua divided the land among the people, gave them their inheritance in those chapters 13 through chapter 21. Joshua gave his farewell address to these Israelites, still encouraging them to take heed to themselves, to love the Lord, and hold fast to the Lord. So Joshua then was one of the two men that gave a good report and said they could take the land and believed God. And Joshua then took Moses' place and led the children of Israel and did those things. He was a leader. Caleb then tonight, we studied and noticed that he was a man that believed God and he obeyed God. He fully followed the Lord. He was a man who had courage. Courage to take a stand and say, "We can do this." And the reason he could say we can do this is because God told him to do it and he believed if God said it, that it would come to pass if you obeyed Him. Caleb served with distinction. He had a different spirit and he was willing to say, "We can very well take this land. We've gone in and spied it out. We can take this land. God said it. I believe it and we can do it." Well, here's Caleb again. He was a doer. He took action. Didn't sit back. Wait on Joshua to take up his slack. He didn't scoot back into the crowd of those that had doubt and say, well, he wasn't afraid to speak up. He was willing to get up and say, "This is the thing we need to do." He spoke up, and that's a good example. He had confidence. Confidence in his faith in God. Confidence to do what God wanted him to do. And we need that today. So just to conclude the lesson tonight, now let's look at Joshua and Caleb and a couple of points concerning both of them as their example. Joshua and Caleb, from what we studied concerning them from Numbers and the book of Joshua, we see that these two men did what was right even when they were faced with opposition. Let's go back very quickly to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, and review just a few of these verses as we have our concluding remarks. Numbers chapter 14, verses 4 through 10. Look at this opposition that they faced. "So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear.'" Look at verse 10. "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel." Well, we'll go on to see verse 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, some things transpired, and they went ahead then, and these people that disbelieved and brought the trouble, they were punished. They didn't get to go into the promised land, but Joshua and Caleb did. They did what was right, even in the face of opposition. they stood up to do what was right. Don't fear God. Don't fear men, but fear God. Fear God. Because men can only harm us physically, but God has the ability to destroy both body and soul. So we need to do what's right when faced in opposition and serve God. Joshua and Caleb were rewarded for faithfully serving the Lord. And is that not what each and one of us tonight is here for? And read the Bible and study and try to live our lives every day to accomplish. That is that we would hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter the joys of the Lord, the place prepared for you." That's where we want to be. Joshua and Caleb were rewarded for faithfully serving the Lord and standing up for what was right. Look at Numbers chapter 14 again very quickly. And let's notice just a few of these verses, 26 through 30 that Jan read this morning. These men, look at verse 30, "Except for Caleb and Joshua, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in." They were the only two out of all these men that could have the reward of going into that promised land. Chapter 32, verses 11 and 12, we've already read that. They were the two out of those spies that went in. They came back and took courage, gave a good report, had the conviction and the obedience to serve God, and they were rewarded for it. And as we closed our lesson this morning talking about how do we want to end up? Do we want to end up like Joshua and Caleb and be able to receive the inheritance that's promised to us? And the inheritance that He promises to us and to all the faithful. And when Christ died on the cross, it went back to Joshua and Caleb and those who obeyed God. And they too shall inherit a home in heaven. So our goal is heaven. The land we're seeking is the land of promise in heaven with God the Father and Jesus the Son. So we need to be those who fully follow the Lord. Obedient believers who take courage, serve with distinction by living lives that let our light shine in obedience to God's will. And one day we'll hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter the joys of the Lord." So just a few thoughts this morning and tonight from two men who set good examples. And there are other things that we could talk about in their lives that would apply also. But these are some of the things that should encourage us today in our life to say, "Look, I want to serve with distinction. I want to serve with obedient faith. I want to have courage. And I want to hear the Lord say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" I know each one wants that. If you're here this evening and you're a one that's never been baptized into Christ, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, then you can come forward this evening and be baptized into Christ. Maybe you're here and there's something in your life that you need to correct in a public way. If you need the prayers of the brethren, WBA is going to lead us in this invitation song, and if you can need the help and you need to come to the Lord, please do so at this time.